1 Samuel chapter number 28. We'll pick up reading verse number 6. Again, we'll read down through the end of the chapter, double back to verse 6 and see what we've got here tonight. The Bible says, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said unto him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two of his men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me up him whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that hath a familiar spirit and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul? And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth, and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all day, nor all the night. And the woman came unto Saul, and saw that he was sore troubled, and said unto him, Behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in thine hand, and hath hearkened unto thy words, which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused, and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth, and sat upon the bed. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour, and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up and went away that night." All right, so here we are with dealing with, once again, the Witch of Endor. Quick recap, Saul is in dire straits because the Philistines are getting ready to march on him, and he's in trouble. Something about this battle has got him riled up enough to know that he just can't do this one by brute force. David has been on the run for 10 years, and he's had no problem repelling other attacks from the Philistines. Keilah and a couple other places that are mentioned. Yet all of a sudden now we find Saul is desperate for the Lord. So there's something about this battle here that has really gotten under his skin, and he knows he needs to hear from God. And quite frankly, I think there's a lot of times in our lives when we've gotten just a little too far away from God, and we just know I need to hear from God, and I can't hear nothing. What's going on here? God, I need you. Why are you being quiet? And Scott's just sitting there shaking his head. It's like, you ain't come correct, so I can't help you. And that's our own fault when we do this. And it definitely was Saul's own fault here. This is not a matter of Job, where Job really hadn't committed any sin, but yet God was silent. Because the teacher's always silent during the test. This ain't a test. This is about to become a massacre here. And whatever test there might would have been by him going to the Witch of Endor, he definitely flunked that test. Okay, so let's go back up to verse number 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. So as we kind of talked about a little bit last week, Saul may have asked, but he certainly did not put forth the effort, as we pointed out there in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. He did not try to get right with God for his sins, nor did he keep asking for help. He was asking once and walking away, and that's really not how you do it when it comes to God, because just asking and walking away, that's not faith. That is presumption. That is you assuming God's going to answer you. Or it is you assuming God's not going to answer you. God's going to say no. God's going to say yes. Whatever it is. But that's not faith. Like we said over there with the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6. And I'm blanking on how the verse goes, so let me turn there real quickly. I had it that quickly and lost it. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And the word diligently means to crave. I mean, this is something you've got a taste for, and you're going to keep going until you finally get it. One good thing about having my podiatrist appointment today, all the way out there in Munster, put me less than 10 minutes away from the Casey's gas station there in Dyer. I care less about their gas, I'll be honest with you. But I absolutely love their pizzas. My soul, those pizzas are good. So any chance I get to go over by Casey's, I don't care where it's at, I stop off and get it. Last time I went down to my parents' place there in Tennessee, I decided, all right, I'm getting really hungry. Man, I really don't want to stop off at McDonald's or something like that. And I saw a sign that said Casey's gas station. And I'm like, boom, I'm going right there. And I got off that exit and I looked. And it's like, I ain't exactly the type of sign I'm used to seeing with Casey's. And you all know Casey's gas signs, you know. Those things are evident. It's Casey's. Okay, fine. So I pulled in there. And I got out, and I'm walking around this store here, and I'm doing one of these numbers. So I go over to the counter, and they got the sticker there on the counter that's that Casey's logo. Okay, so this is the right Casey's, and I'm like, did I miss it, or is y'all don't got the pizza thing? We don't have it. We just got bought and turned into a Casey's last week. So it's still going to be a couple more weeks before the full transition's over. I was heartbroken. I wanted that pizza. I craved that pizza.
So what pizza places in Casey's?
It's kind of like how Speedway does, where they make their own food in there.
Oh, okay.
Only this is 1,000 times better than Speedway pizza. Oh, my soul. It is so... Once you've had it... Oh, doggies. You got a hankering for it from then on. Well, that's the kind of diligently seeking God that God wants for us when we operate in faith. When we come and we ask, we keep knocking, Daddy, I need an answer here. Saul hasn't done anything like that. It's like, okay, it starts off as neither by dreams. Okay, so Saul took him a nap, woke up, man, I didn't dream about nothing, so I guess God ain't going to talk to me. Hey, the guy I made the new high priest after I wiped out all the priests there in Nob. You come on over here and you bring that fake Urim because we couldn't find the real Urim. You bring that over here and let's find out what God says. That Urim ain't telling us nothing. Hey, you over there, hair on your head. Aren't you one of the prophets? God got a word for me? Nope. God ain't answering me. And that was Saul's type of attitude. And too oftentimes, that's our type of attitude as well. That's why we do these prayer requests here. Why some of these names keep popping up on this sheet every Sunday, every Tuesday. Because we're going to keep praying about them until we get an answer. One way or t'other. The answer might be yes, the answer might be no. By the way, in between, the answer might be slow. Take your time, wait on me, it's coming. But we've got to keep doing it. Saul didn't do it. It don't work. Now, let's take this a step further here with verse number 6. Saul claimed to try to talk to God. But we read over in 2 Chronicles, and let me turn over there real quick. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 10. I want to read this here for you. Hopefully I got the right chapter and verse here. Let's go back over a couple of pages. I'm starting to think they removed chapter 10 from my Bible. I can't find it. Chapter 10. Yeah, that is not the right one. How about 1 Chronicles chapter 10? Maybe that was it.
1 Chronicles
10, 13, 14. Yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you. I want to use that M word, but I can't use that M word. Y'all know the M word. I once thought I was wrong. Turned out I was missed. You know that word. Yeah. That's me. Chapter 10, verse 13 and 14. And I will go ahead and correct that on my paper here real quickly. Bible says here, 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13 and 14. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. So in other words, what Saul did back here in 1 Samuel 28, verse 6, he went through the motions. And too oftentimes, we just go through the motions. Okay, maybe we write these prayer requests down on a piece of paper. And, okay, I at least did that. I've gone through the motions. You know, God will take care of it. I'm trusting that everybody else here has been praying about it, so I don't need to pray about it. That's just us going through the motions, but it's not going to God. Saul's not going to God here. Like we said, that Urim, that's not the right one because we read a couple of chapters previously that Abiathar brought that with him to David. So Saul ain't got the right one. The prophets? Right now, at best, those prophets are only going to tell him whatever they think Saul wants to hear so he doesn't kill them too because he's already wiped out the priest. Why not go ahead and wipe out the prophets too? And dreams? You know, this may have been a time when God was answering by dreams, but obviously Saul wasn't getting much sleep at this point. Because dreams would provide immediate answers. You think about Pharaoh. He had that dream. Now, he had to go get Joseph to find the interpretation, but he had the dream right away. Nebuchadnezzar had his dream. He knew there was something to it. So he had to eventually go get Daniel and get the interpretation of it. Saul wasn't having any dreams. Maybe he was sleeping like a baby, but he wasn't getting no dreams. I still think he personally was tossing and turning, but that's me. The Urim was employed by the high priest to determine God's will. Again, he slaughtered the high priest and the rest of the priests of Nob, except for Abiathar, who managed to escape. So at best, Saul had a cheap copy, and that high priest he was using was a cheap copy. God doesn't deal with cheap copies. God uses the real McCoy. Prophets would receive a message from the Lord and pass it along. So Saul, having not been helped in any of these ways, does not justify him, though, going the route that he did take. God is never going to lead any of us into sin in order to do something that is of God. If we've got to justify it by saying, well, this is what God told me to do, but it's sinful. Yeah, no, God didn't tell you to do that. Yourself told you to do that. Your neighbor told you to do that. Someone else told you to do that. But it was not God. Let's see, a bit of time here is involved. Let me read verse 7 real quickly. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. So a bit of time is involved with these two verses here, verse 6 and 7. He's got to take the time to be trying to have dreams. He's got to be taking the time to go and have the high priest go fetch the Urim, bring it back, throw the dice or whatever it is that's actually contained in the Urim, because we don't know what it was. And he's got to have time to have the prophets make an effort to go talk to God and say, God, please, I don't want to die. Could you send a message about Saul so we get to straighten it? This is always requiring time. Okay? Now he comes along and says, hey, all right, fine, I can't get an answer that way. Get me someone who's got a familiar spirit about them. So, even with all the naps he could have taken, logically, since we've already been told that he had ran off or killed anyone dealing in the dark arts from within the nation's borders, it should have taken a couple of days to track down this woman. Okay, Saul has to have time to travel over to her house, even though it's probably within a 10-mile radius of the battlefield here. Still, that it's not like that's going to take 5-10 minutes. You know, 10 miles even by horseback still going to take some time. Sit at her house, get the message from the spirit here, and then eat food, as we see in verse number 24, and then travel back. You know, all this, all that is taking place here, you can have up to 5 possible days that is being used up in these two verses right here. The Philistines, they don't seem like they're really willing to sit around and wait for Saul to get his act together so they can whoop him. So, this coming invasion is you know, it seems like it may have been spotted by some scouts. Maybe David had heard about it, and he sent some backdoor messages to let Saul know, hey, Philistines are plotting something for you here, and just, you know, make sure that they don't hear that it was David that sent the message, because that would have been completely dismissed. Could have been some tradesmen, you know, go around, you know, peddling their goods. Saw that the Philistines were building up, and said, well, the Israelites are kind of good customers for me too, so I better let them know. Maybe some of the traveling caravans that would pass through on their way from Mesopotamia to Egypt, you know, they did that whole arc to come down. You know, that was a 17-day trip right there. So, you know, maybe they just, you know, oh, hey, we're coming up from Egypt. Oh, the Philistines getting ready to do something. Well, we got to pass close to Israel land anyway, so let's let the Israelites know. Whatever. It seems like Saul basically heard about this early on as they're beginning to amass the troops and freaked out about it. Maybe numbers really got blown up. Oh, they got millions of Philistines coming after you. Something like that. Whatever it was enough to panic Saul. The word inquired, as we see in verse number 6, means to ask. There is no mention of repetition or intensity of the request, while the word inquire of verse number 7 means to follow or worship, meaning Saul was more willing to submit to what she had to say and was able to do for him than he was for God. Yeah, that's really messed up. Again, I apologize. A couple of years before women's lib, but at this time it's a patriarchal society. God put the man in charge. He's supposed to be going to other men, not to a woman, and especially not to a witch. So that's two strikes right there. And on top of it, he knows he's going to talk to a spirit. Not God's spirit either, just a spirit. 3 strikes, you're out, Saul. End of subject. This was not something that Saul would have said to just anybody, though, when he said, hey, you know, guys, go get me, find me a woman with a familiar spirit. This was somebody that he talked to that he felt they could keep this a secret because it's not something you want getting out the rest of your army. Hey, did you hear what the king's doing? The king is going to a woman and dark arts and a witch and familiar spirits, and he's wanting to call up Samuel. These people had a history of running and hiding from the Philistines as is. Your leader is going to do that? Exit stage left for us. We're out of here. He's going to come back and there's no army left. Where'd everybody go? Did the massacre happen? No, they ran. Why'd they run? You left. You went to see a woman. You went to talk to an evil spirit. I'm out of here too. Boom. And now his whole army consists of him and those two men that he had. Whoo, boy. That ain't gonna fly. So he had to make sure it was a couple of people who could keep a secret. Plus, you notice that they did this at night. In other words, not only did he disguise himself, but he used the cover of darkness so that he can run to them. Now, if you got any idea about the clubs and bars and all this stuff, lighting ain't all that great in there because they want you to feel free to do what you need to do inside there. By going at nighttime, Saul felt a bit more free about it because he didn't feel like all eyes were on him at the moment. And he could have easily been overlooking, well, you know, God, he ain't been answering me, he ain't talking to me, so he's turned his back on me, so he can't see what I'm doing right now anyways. So I just got to make sure my men don't see me leaving right now because they'll think I'm running and hiding. So he's just using the cover of darkness here. Saul specified a woman that hath a familiar spirit for a reason. Women being the weaker sex were thought to be more susceptible to the influence and communications of the devil. This, of course, goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 when it was the serpent talking to Eve. The serpent didn't go to Adam. The serpent went to Eve. And it took, what, 5-6 verses for Eve to fall and only 4 words for Adam to fall. So, tells you how a smart man can be at times. Those communications he hoped would be enough to get him through this time. What Saul was definitely proving here was that he was as weak-minded as he figured she must be. If he's got all this plan worked out here that she can give him the answer somehow, he's pathetic. Okay, you know, you can take that for however you want, but it is. He's a complete mess at this point. Now, indoor means fountain of dwelling. It was located in the plain of Jezreel within the borders of Manasseh. That's the side of Manasseh that was on their side of the Jordan. As you remember, Manasseh, the tribe split up into two. One half stayed on the other side of the Jordan River, and then one half went on this side. So going there, Saul would have to have skirted around the gathering of the Philistines, kind of just a big arc to come up here because they're down here, and he'd have to come circle all the way back down around again so he doesn't get spotted. While she did mess with spiritualism, seems most of what she did was probably just an act because Samuel appearing did take her by complete surprise. I mean, she cried out loud. She was freaked out over it. But we'll get to that in verse number 12. Let's go back to verse 8. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. So like we said, Saul disguised himself so she would cooperate. Because it wasn't just to hide from his men who he was. He didn't want her knowing either, because that way she'll be more willing to do it. He had been deporting and or executing those who practiced the dark arts. So for him to come openly would make the whole venture a non-starter from the very beginning. Because she'd be like, oh no, sir, I don't dabble in witchcraft at all. No, I am a good, God-fearing woman. And however that goes, and yes, Saul, I am a perfect little angel of the Lord, God Almighty. And would you like for me to sing Amazing Grace to you, sir? I can do that right now. And, you know, she could have easily played the part if she knew who he was. And how often, think about this now, how often do we suddenly start playing the part when we're around a particular person. It's like, oh yeah, you know what? Praise God, brother. That's a wonderful tie you've got on tonight. Man, you are looking superior this evening. God bless you, sir. My brother, I'd give you a Holy Ghost handshake right now. But we'll work separated by the tables. But you know, I got you next time, brother. You know, we could play that part. And people do it all the time. And we all know. We've all heard, be careful when someone starts patting you on the back because they're looking for a good place to stick a knife. Okay? So Saul knows he can't just walk in there saying, King Saul is here, because she will play that part. He needs to be disguised so that she's open and honest with the dealings. Let's see. We are not told the names of the other two men, though it is very unlikely that either man was Abner, that's his general, since if there was no one left in charge, neither Saul nor Abner, the men would start figuring something was wrong here. Both of these guys left, so he probably left Abner behind to maintain order in the camp. Nighttime, of course, would make it easier for him to go incognito. Note the phrase familiar spirit. This means a ventriloquist. Telling us that she was demon controlled. This was either that she would throw her voice and make someone think that, oh, the spirit's over there. Can you hear him talking over there? And of course, the voice is coming from over there. I can see him clearly. Can't you? Oh, you know, that's okay, because I'm the one dealing with the familiar spirit here. You listen to what the voice is saying. Aren't you saying that voice over there? Yes. Or the other way of using a ventriloquist is you've got the dummy. And it's the familiar spirit operating the dummy. That being her, of course. I'm not calling her a dummy. I'm just simply saying she was being used as a dummy and being controlled by the demon. Verse number 9. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? Man, she's already suspecting him. She may not be suspecting he saw, but she's suspecting she's being set up. She ain't no dummy. Okay? So his clothing and speech would have revealed to her that he was at least an Israelite. So she knew. Got to be on the lookout. Maybe this is one of Saul's men. Even if she doesn't know it's Saul. She might have an idea too, though, because remember, Saul was head and shoulders taller than the average Philistine. So it'd be like me, you know, compared to Josiah there. It'd be quite obvious in a height difference here. So she might have an idea. I don't think she was a fan of Saul, though. But it appears she still was able to make a good living here. Or she would have moved out to avoid the possibility of being caught by Saul's men. So someone is still going and using her resources, her abilities. May not be as frequently as it was before Saul came along, but someone was still doing it. Otherwise, like I said, she could have moved out. Saul's heart was so hardened that he wasn't bothered by the reality that he should kill her, not get help from her. Okay, the woman suspected that these three strangers were there to catch her in the act. And of course, she was right if she was actually suspecting that. Verse 10, and Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. So here is Saul. God isn't speaking to him. He is asking a necromancer to raise the dead for him. And he is wanting to speak to an old man who has been dead for a couple of years about the future and is invoking the name of the Lord in all of this. By the way, a necromancer is someone who deals with the dead. As king, he could easily protect her if she was ever brought up on charges for this. But he was not the supreme king, so he could never protect her from divine judgment for her part in this, nor her necromancer practices. And at this point, what I want to do is I want to go ahead and leave off there. That way we can deal specifically with getting into this subject here for calling up the spirit. Do we have any questions, comments, or concerns to this point? Alrighty.